The reading that you have listed in the bulletin this morning is not the one I'm going to use. You know, we have to be flexible. I'm going instead to go to Matthew's Gospel, which is the chosen Gospel for today, and originally I decided I didn't want to do that because we've heard it a million times. However, I rethought it, and I think there's something we need to think about, okay? And so I give you the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from the stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The Gospel of the Lord. I felt bad yesterday because I had signed up months ago for attending a workshop given by Matthew McLaren, Brian McLaren, who is a speaker from the Midwest and who now lives in Florida. He's written many, many books, and I've read a number of them. Some of them I've shared thoughts with you from, whatever that meant. I felt bad because I was leaving Louisa home, and she has a lung infection that now she's fighting, and we're going to the doctors tomorrow. But she insisted that I go, and because she insisted I went, I have so many things that I want to tell you, I can't stand it. But I'm going to be very simple for today. I think it's a good place to begin, but I'd like this to be a beginning for the next year, because I think there's something very wonderful going on in the world today that we don't talk much about. The conference was about basically church and religion and its place in the world today. It's no secret that everybody understands that church attendance has gone down across the board. Catholics, Protestants, all of the major denominations, the major groups, have all lost attendance. In fact, the Methodists did something very interestingly. In 1880, the Methodists decided that they would institute a church or put a church in every county in the United States, and they did. And now they're almost extinct because in 1880, that was their peak. And when the farmers developed bigger farms and small farms went out of business, when the whole trajectory of communities moved to the cities, most of the churches of the Methodist Church were in the Midwest, not on the coasts. And so now they are almost extinct. That is something that's been happening. We know ourselves because I know in the Catholic Church, priests are short, and they're having talks about closing right now in Archdiocese. In the Protestant Church has been going down since 1955, gradually, but we're down to a point where now we too are talking about closing churches. The only ones who seem to be doing well are evangelicals, but the problem with evangelicals is they're falling into the same trap as the others did before. And Brian, who spoke yesterday, who is an evangelical, said that they're going through the same thing that we all went through, and it's going even faster than it did for the rest of us. So they're on the decline as well. Why is that? Well, there's an awful lot of things that came through when we looked at the election. And I want to talk about personalities. The election told us that people are very mistrustful of institutions. Now, with the pedophile scandals in Catholicism, with some of the things that have gone on in evangelical churches, on television evangelists, et cetera, and some of the scandals that are there, the money issues that all of them have, and they all have money issues that we all would balk at if we knew them, those have given us a great mistrust. Now, you and I were brought up in a time when we believed that our goal in life was to get to heaven. And the Christian church has got to tell us that we are sinners and our job is to get to heaven. And we spent our life doing that. The difficulty is that that doesn't motivate any of us anymore. It may motivate some of us because we still have that fear deeply ingrained within us. But if you look at the young people of today, they don't have a clue of what that means. And most of the language that churches have spoken and most of the rituals we have mean absolutely nothing to the younger people. That doesn't mean we did something wrong. We don't have to feel guilty about it, but we need to become aware that we need to begin to redirect our energies as congregations, as communities. Now, one of the things that we have here, and I give this a smile, this is why I chose this gospel this morning. Remember, all this part of the Bible, this is all Old Testament. This is all Hebrew. This is all paternalism. This is the worst part about, what do we want to call it, misogyny, violence, criminality, in the name of God. The God of the Old Testament is vengeful and one who punishes. That's the one that was held over our heads when we were growing up. And then we talked about Jesus being kind and forgiving and all the rest of it. But you look at the doctrines of our churches, and the truth is that we have promoted a very vengeful God. And the worry about Christianity, somebody once said that, you know, I'm not afraid of Christianity disappearing. What I am worried about is Christianity becoming murderous, just as Islam has become, just as other sects have become in their own way, not taking care of people. John the Baptist here is preaching a rebellious movement. Jesus did not come to establish an institution. If he did, he would have said, I'm here, let's gather together, I'm going to make a church. And that church would have begun with Jesus, and there would have been organization and all kinds of hierarchies and all kinds of workers and bees and all the rest of it, just as we have today in our churches. What he came to say was, as John the Baptist is, there's a revolution going on here. We never heard it this way, but there's a revolution taking place right here in Matthew's gospel, because John the Baptist is saying, you know, you believed in Abraham, and because you were people of Abraham, you were all set. You had God on your side. Everything was going to be wonderful. I believe that as a Catholic, that as a Catholic person, I had the kingdom, and the poor rest of those folks over there, especially the Protestants across the street from our church when I was a kid, they're all going to hell, but we're going to be in heaven. And that was ingrained in us. It's ingrained in me today. I still have guilt sometimes because of some of the things that I put out there. And I'm embarrassed sometimes when I rethink. I go back to the young people I talked to when I was first ordained. You know, young, stupid, no information at all, except you came out and you had all kinds of stuff you wanted to say. God knows how I perverted their thinking. And I can only apologize for that. But we are who we are. We do what we do because that's who we are at any given point. The point now is we need to begin to listen to this revolution in the Gospels. Because John the Baptist says that is no longer going to work. There's something coming that is going to involve you in the holy. And the holy is the best. You know, we talk about Holy Spirit. I'd like to drop holy. It should be the loving spirit. Because if you listen to Jesus' teaching, and if he revealed anything about God, he revealed that it's all about loving. And I know that sounds like a platitude, but you know how difficult it is to love people you don't like. You know how difficult it is for us as American people to look across the ocean and see the threats that may be coming with the immigrants and we're supposed to love? Do you understand that some of the things that are going to be happening in the next political 4 or 8 or 10 or 15 years means that in some ways things are going to get better? But let us not, please, forget that there's fallout for so many people who won't be us. They're going to be the people who are marginal. They're the ones who get tromped on again and again. We have a history of it in our country. I don't want to talk against our country. But poverty should have been eliminated years ago. Poverty will never be eliminated ever, ever, ever until we begin as a people to understand that it is our mission to take care of the people who are poor. Governments don't do it. They thought communism would take care of poverty. Look at Cuba. They've been communist for 70 years, 50 years, and they still have gross poverty and horrible employment. There's no system that's going to make it work. What's going to happen, if anything happens, brothers and sisters, is we are going to finally hear this invitation. We do not need to create more institutions. In fact, the institutions have no credibility anymore. And the vast majority of people don't turn to organized religion for anything. Somebody once said to me, you know, I have nothing to do with organized religion. I said, well, how about disorganized religion? Would that work? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, what exactly do you think religion should be doing? And we had a conversation, and what came out was this person who had absolutely no understanding of God, no church life at all, no background at all, said, I think church should be people taking care of people. Simple. And you know you can do that without a worship service? You know, we can do a lot of things without worship. And probably, if we're listening to Jesus in the gospel, that's more what he had in mind than being proclaimed God, King, Christ, Lord, whatever. Never occurred to him at all. What did he spend his life doing? Taking care of people. More than ever, now that we're down at the bottom, you talk about a U swing when you talk about change. We're down at the bottom. Right now we're at the bottom where there's no place to go, and there are many people who are saying, let's just quit it, sell the place, get rid of it. I know I was with the pastors yesterday at this talk. It was all for pastors. And it was a common feeling that, well, you know, things are so bad. Well, thank God I'm retiring. Well, I think that's a hell of a thing. Thank God I'm retiring. What do you mean? Where do we go from here? Well, when you're at the bottom, the impossible becomes possible because you have no place else to go. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we need to begin to think about the possible. We have yet to explore, as a community, as an official church, really, how do we start taking care of people? We have food banks, we have those kind of things. That's not it. It's connecting with people. Jesus touched people and their lives changed. He reached into their pain and it was relieved. He went into their loneliness and gave them a place of love. He went to the brokenhearted and the ones who could not forgive and who were tied up in chains with their agonies of their past, and he set them free. He took care of people. And I think that's exactly what John the Baptist is talking about. Because once Jesus begins, there's only one thing that matters. You will find God in each other. In fact, we go so far as to say what I said at the table this morning. When two or three are together, You become Jesus in the world today. When you take from this table, you become the Jesus in the world to do what Jesus did. Our institutions don't know how to do this. The UCC has raised flags for gay people, has gotten involved in all kinds of litigation, etc., and it has gotten nothing. It has not reached the people. I can say that because I'm part of it. And the system cannot fix the system. It is people like you and I who take seriously our call to help people, to support people, not just the ones we know, but everyone who ever comes into our lives, to have an attitude of openness. That's who Jesus was. That's who we need to become. And so I hope, I hope on this Advent Sunday, you will join with me in asking God's blessing upon the lives that we live, that we would have the grace to perceive when we have those special opportunities to do something that Jesus did. Not as the miraculous Christ, not as the King of Kings, not as the one who conquers the world and at the end pulls it all together into a new Jerusalem, the one who walked the earth and met people where they were and took them someplace else they thought would never be possible. And just a thought for Sunday morning. Amen.